Will you please stand and worship with us?
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by
and pray with me today. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us all here so that we can come and worship you and learn more about you. We pray that your love will be evident in our lives so that people will truly know that we are Christians by the love that we show, and that we just go out and we share you with everyone around us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly armor will enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength. Comes in like a flood. The battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. And we strength to the Lord, and we sing.
So I've been thinking about the sermons that we've had the last few weeks, and that kind of inspired this set list today. Forgiveness can be very, very difficult. It can be a straight-up battle, especially when you've been hurt really bad by someone you trusted. But the battle does belong to the Lord. He has overcome the battles, and he gives us the same power to forgive.
He lives in us.
He has overcome, and so can we.
Your name, you overcame.
awesome and great is your name. You overcame. You overcame. You overcame. You overcame.
Amen. Father God, you are awesome in power. You overcame. You are worthy of all the glory, of all the praise, all the honor that is due you, Lord. We want that to be yours this day, every day. So, Lord, we come as your church. We humbly come and just seek your power this morning, the move of your Holy Spirit, Father, not by my words, but by your words, Lord. So, Lord, we just give ourselves over to you as a church, Lord. We ask that your Holy Spirit come, move powerfully and mightily among us, Lord. And Lord, that you would forgive us of our sins, Lord. That you would forgive us, Lord, because we want nothing to hinder your Spirit. We want nothing to stand between you and us. So we, as your church, come and we just ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, we humble ourselves before you, Lord, that we ask that you work inside of our lives, that you will make us become more like your Son, Jesus Christ, that we would be the Christ-like, we would be the Christians. So Lord, we as your church come and ask for your blessing. Lord, as always, if I am going to say something that is not true, that is not right, that is not of you, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, you silence my lips, not allow me to speak, but you would rise up the one to speak for you this day that will bring you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, thank you, Praise Band. Appreciate you. They don't miss a beat. Haha, get it? They don't miss a beat. Mike's and Belinda's on vacation, and Cynthia steps right up there every time and takes charge, and we appreciate her. But pray for Richie, her husband, as he is out sick today. And as we look around, we can see that there's a few out today. Of course, vacation season is upon us. Amen. Now, let me do a little bit of housekeeping here. Listen, our motorcycle run that we, our missions motorcycle run that we do to raise money for missions is coming in just a couple of weeks. All right? Now, we need help running it. And I know that a lot of you people think that we just know that you're going to do it, but we don't. So there's a sign-up sheet out on the, above the water cooler. So if you are able to come out Saturday, June 3rd, to help us, please sign that and let us know so that we can know what help we have and what help we don't have, all right? But we thank you all for stepping up to serve. Is that all I'm supposed to say? Look, well, listen, she's looking. She don't know. Well, listen, we're glad that you were here this morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, yeah, the community breakfast that was brought to my attention this morning, too, is that we will be starting up the community breakfast again. We need to know who's going to be able to help. It will be in downtown Steubenville at the Urban Missions. And we know that the church largely supported that, you know, pre-COVID. Well, we have a new location. We have a new church. And it's a good spot. It's a great spot. And we're going to start that community breakfast back up. I think it's going to be the last Saturday of every month is what we're shooting for. And then that way, if there's anything left over, we can give it to the men's breakfast at the church, right? So, all right, so there's a sign-up sheet. If you can help, please go sign that up above the water cooler as well. And yes, I've had a lot of people ask me. I will be getting my hip replaced as I am old. So I will be getting a hip replacement on June 21st. I was going to get it done right before VBS, and Heather threatened to quit, so... But thank you already for your prayers, and I don't know how long I'll be down, at least 2 days, all right? So anyways, if you have your Bibles, open them up to the book of Philemon. I'm sorry. A couple weeks ago, I've titled this the Forgiveness Experiences, the Deepening Work of Jesus Christ. But a couple weeks ago, Paul showed us what a life our forgiveness does in the life of a believer's faith. If you've not heard this series of sermons, please go back on online and get them. But Paul showed us a couple weeks ago what forgiveness does in the life of a believer's faith. And we learned that when a believer exhibits a life of forgiveness, what it does is this, is it expresses the love of Christ to others. And now turn with me again, like to the book of Philemon, chapter 1, and let's just review the verses that we all should almost know by heart by now, beginning with verse 4, and look what it says. It says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. So Paul told Philemon in this letter that he had heard about Philemon's love and faith. And because of Philemon, and because of that, Philemon put his faith in Jesus Christ, that genuine faith in Jesus Christ, that 24/7 faith. What you've seen on Sunday morning is what you've seen all through the week with Philemon. He had that 24/7 faith. Paul tells Philemon that because of that, your love and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a love, and remember, that was an agape love, a all-sacrificial love, and that faith, that genuine faith, and that love, and that agape love, all that together, it's a witness, and it's a testimony of the love of Jesus Christ in us, right? And it's a natural outcome for us as believers. When you love and when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it's a natural outcome of loving people. That's what it is. It just becomes a natural outflow of what happens in a believer's and a Christian's life. All right? And so, and then last week, remember I showed you a life of forgiveness enriches the body of Christ when Paul said in verse 5, he says, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. There's two words in there that you really need to underline. The sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in, underline in, you, in, underline in, Christ Jesus. Remember, Paul was talking about the operation of our faith in the midst of the fellowship of God's people, the operation of our faith. Paul said, Philemon, because of your genuine faith in Jesus Christ, that you were put in the fellowship of God's people with purpose. Because of your faith in Jesus Christ, you were put in the fellowship of God's people with purpose. Likewise, God put us here together, all of us here together in this fellowship. Now listen, I don't know about you, but I think that's awesome. I mean, look what he has done. If he put a misfit like me with you guys and you accept me, we're just a great fellowship, all right? But it is awesome what God can do. And through our gifts and our abilities, we are to enrich the body of Christ here where God has placed us. And then remember, I gave you some illustrations about people who have gotten angry about one thing or another and have left the church and the fellowship, and some have actually left the faith, and now God gets no glory for that, which is really odd. If you think about it, it's really odd, because it is God who calls us to a life of forgiveness. And listen, it's not a suggestion from him. We looked at that, right, last week. It's not a suggestion from him. He's not saying you should forgive your brother or sister. No, that's not what he's saying. Instead, he said, forgive as the Lord forgave you. That was the part of the homework. You can also find that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. You see, God puts a condition, and a lot of people don't like that word. A lot of people don't want that. But he does. God puts a condition on his forgiveness towards us. He said, if you want your sins forgiven by me, then you are to forgive others. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. And listen, when we are doing that inside this body, I can't account for other bodies. I'm accountable for this body. When we do this in this body, the body of Christ is enriched. And we will grow spiritually as a church, as a fellowship, and more importantly, we will grow individually when we do this. So now let's move to the next point, which is this. A life of forgiveness experiences the deepening work of Jesus Christ. A life of forgiveness experiences the deepening work of Jesus Christ. Now let me give you this, because to me personally, these are some of the richest verses in the New Testament. Just listen to what he says there in verse 6. We're going to get, so how do I do that? How do I get this deepening work? How do I do that? How do I experience a deepening work of Jesus Christ in me, in myself? Because I just cannot get over this thing. As Cynthia said up here when she on that song, she says, sometimes it's just hard. It hurts, right? How do I get over this thing, this person wronged me, this person hurt me? Maybe, you know, it's a family member. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a child. I don't know. But you just look at this thing, and you look inside yourself, and you think, I cannot forgive it. I can't forgive. I'm just too hurt. I was wounded too deep. So what am I to do? How am I to do this? How am I to move? How am I to move past this hurt? How am I to move past this pain that is inside of me? And it's real. It's a real pain. It's a real hurt. And it's into the core, right? How do I move past this? So that God will work in my life like I need Him to. Well, look at Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. Look what it says. How do I do this? By the acknowledgments of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Which is in you in Christ Jesus. So how am I able to grow in my forgiveness of people? How am I able to extend forgiveness to people? How am I able to deepen the work of Christ in my life? Well, Paul comes and he says this. This is how it starts right here. It by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. How? Through the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in Christ. That's important. You got to get that. Every good thing that is in Christ. Now, I want you to listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Look what he says there, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Now, do you hear what Peter is saying here? Peter is saying this: God has granted us everything we need to live the Christian life. Overcame, that song, right? God has granted us everything that we need to live the Christian life. Well, how did God do that? Well, if you are saved, right? If you are here and if you are saved, then let me ask you this. Who lives and abides in you? The Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. The living God himself abides in you. The living God. So his divine power lives in you. In you. But you say, oh, I struggle with the Christian life. I struggle in the Christian life. Well, so do I, brothers and sisters. So do I. Listen, it's not easy, but listen to me. I cannot deny Scripture. And Scripture tells me that God has provided everything that I need to live this Christian life. But yet we say, somebody's hurt me. I just can't forgive them. I can't get over it. I can't get beyond it. I can't think of any. I can't think of anything else. Every time I see them, I just groan on the inside. You ever have that? You see that guy? Yeah. Somebody shaking your head. It's just on the inside. It just kind of groans, right? Every time I see them, it's all I think about. I can't get it out of my head. Listen, God's word tells me that he has given me everything I need to overcome. He's given me everything that I need to be victorious. And because why? Because the unforgiveness that you're carrying is probably not affecting the other person at all. Remember that I gave you that illustration of, I can't remember his name now, but he says, it's like you drinking the poison and then thinking the other person's going to die. That's what we're carrying. But God comes, Christ comes along and he says, listen, I've got everything you need to be overcomers in this. And you're sitting there and you're saying to yourself, yeah, pastor, yeah, you know, maybe he did. But it ran out of power in me. Nope. No, it did not. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able. Well, we could just stop here and preach a sermon right here. You know the word you is not in there. The word you is not there. What is possible in Christ? What is possible in Christ? All things, right? And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So it ran out? Nope. God's power ran out on you? Nope. Listen, supply is not an issue with God, right? His grace and mercy, His supply is not an issue with God. It's always there for the believers. And we all should be shouting amen, right? And you say, well, why in the world do we not get this? Why isn't it happening in my life? Why are we got this? Why do I struggle with this so much? And let me tell you, a lot of us do. Well, I'm going to tell you why. And you're not going to like the answer. It's because we're too busy in our lives. We're too busy in our lives to drill down and tap into the resource that God has put in us to overcome the flesh. Sometimes we like just being angry. We do. We just like being angry. And so we get too distracted, we get too busy, and we don't just take the time to deal with it. And besides, you know, once we have it on us for so long, we just get used to carrying the burden. But I want you to understand this truth. God has put a resource in every one of you who are saved. Every one of you who call Him Lord of your life. God has put a resource in every one of you. If it was in Christ and you're saved, then it's in you somewhere. That's not me, that's Scripture. There's a resource in there for you to use. But what we are not doing is we're not drilling down, we're not seeking God. We get so used to carrying it, we just don't want to deal with it anymore. We're not seeking God anymore. Listen, some people are easy to forgive. You know, it's easy for me to forgive my wife. It's not so easy for her to forgive me. But no. But you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes it's easier to forgive some people. However, some are not so easy to forgive. And you know what? In those people, it takes more than you have on your own to forgive. Sometimes it takes more than you have on your own to forgive. Now, I'm sure that you've all seen pictures of those big drilling rigs off of the shore of Gulf of Mexico or out in the ocean there somewhere. They go down hundreds of thousands of feet. Leslie, would you put up that picture? Those big drill, right? And in the center there, you see that? You see that big drill bit right there in the center right there? That big long thing? You can barely see it, but it goes all the way up through that rigging and it goes all the way down into the water right there. See that? That thing's going to penetrate shale. You know, that hard and callous ground. Sometimes, like our flesh gets. It penetrates that hard. There's a better picture. See it there? That hard and callous ground. It's going to penetrate rock. You know, that stone. It's got to go through that stone. It's going to go through there. Sometimes, like our heart gets. And it's going to go down until it hits a deposit. When it hits a deposit, what it's going to do is all of that oil is going to come up, going to come gushing up out of that thing right there until they can cap it off and they hit what they are looking for. They've got oil. But it's way down in there. That precious resource deep down inside the earth. And they've got the resource. They got the resources to go get it. They have the technology to go get it. It's down there, but they have to go after it, and it's work. Well, that's what the knowledge of God will do. The knowledge of Jesus Christ is the drill bit. Get this now. The knowledge of Jesus Christ is the drill bit that goes down. Now, in here, who knows Jesus Christ? The knowledge of Jesus Christ is the drill bit. What? I know that God forgave me of my sins and has given me all things that I need to overcome, right? The knowledge of Jesus Christ is the drill bit that goes down through the hardness of your life and hits the resources that the Holy Spirit has already put in there. In you, in Jesus Christ. You see it? So what is it that we're not doing? What are we not doing? We're not doing the work, right? The hard part, right? We're not doing the work. We're not seeking the knowledge of God to tap into His resources that He has placed in us. There's a work on our part. There was a work on God's part when He sent His Son to demonstrate His love towards us, that while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. He did the hard part. He did the work, right? We're not willing to do the work to tap into the resources that God has placed inside of us through His Holy Spirit. And you say, well, how do I do that? How do I get there? How do I get to that point? Well, first, let me tell you this. Get into God's Word. That's how you know who God is. That's how you know the knowledge of God. That's how you know. You get into His Word and you find God's will for your life. God has a will for you. Pursue what Jesus Christ has for you. And trust me when I tell you, He 100% has a purpose for you. 100%. And listen to the Lord. Oh, wait a minute. I got to drill in. Listen. Listen to the Lord and find His will here and now for your life spiritually now. Walk closer with Jesus today. Live closer to the Lord today. Let everything about Christ have the overarching say of all of your life. That's drilling down. So that when I drill down, I hit the resources. This is the living Word of God. It has the resource for you. No exception. It has the resource for you. Now listen to what He's saying. He's saying this. If you do that, you're going to hit the resources and that of forgiveness that the Holy Spirit has put down there inside of you. Yes, He did. When you came to Jesus Christ, you came through forgiveness and repentance. You know what happens when you hit that forgiveness down in your life, down in there? You're going to gush forgiveness. Meaning you're not going to just forgive this old boy over here, but you're going to forgive this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, and this one. We talked about that last week. When Christians will not forgive. But when you drill down into the Word of God, right? When you drill down through the Word of God, through and with the Spirit of God, you will hit the resource of forgiveness. And you are going to start forgiving everybody. And that pressure of the burden that you're carrying of unforgiveness, not the other person, but the pressure of the burden that you're carrying of unforgiveness is going to come up out of you just like when that thing hits oil. And all of this is just going to come up out of your life and you will be spiritually rich because of it. You know, if you talk to anybody that preaches or preachers, they will tell you when they preach something, they go through it. I ran into a guy who had personally hurt me a couple weeks ago, and when I seen him, my soul groaned. Do you know what happened? I stepped on my own toes there, Dan Schaefer. Where you at? I stepped on my own toes. Because the last couple weeks' sermons just come right up. That resource that just came right up. And it hit me. This guy hurt me. So I went to the Lord and I started drilling. I started remembering all of these scriptures that I've been preaching. And I just want to tell you something else. When you forgive that one person that is the hardest to forgive right now in your life, you will discover that you've got forgiveness galore, because all that pressure is coming. And once it starts out, you want more of it out. You want it to keep coming. You want it to keep flowing. And I got to tell you that it has. And if that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what does, because that's a word right there. That's a true word right there. But it's not what we do, is it? Normally, that's not what we do. But let me tell you something, Christian. The resources are there, but they're conditional. You have to want it. You have to want to go get it. You have to want it, and that to be in the same image of character of Christ. That's how bad I want to have it. And Paul says, listen, Philemon. Paul comes now and he says, listen, Philemon, I see it gushing out of your life. It's evident in your life. He says, you've hit it. You're doing this through the knowledge of every good work which is in you for Christ Jesus. Look at verse 7. Look how it's evident. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, I am seeing love gush out of you. Paul's telling Philemon, I see love gushing out of you because the heart of the saints have been refreshed through you. He says, Philemon, when you walk through the church, people are not relieved when you leave. In other words, they're sad to see you go. Once you come into the church, they're sad to see you go. And they're refreshed when you come in. Now let me ask you this. What is it like when you show up? Are people happy to see you go, or are people happy to see you come? Listen, I pray it's the latter. Listen, that's what ought to be happening in every life right here today. People should be refreshed when you show up. Why? Because you're a Christian. And Philemon is going to be put to the test on this very thing. Because you've got a runaway. Don't forget about the runaway slave. It all goes back to Onesimus. You've got a runaway slave who ought to be in prison. He's coming back. He's a runaway slave. He's a thief, and he's coming back. And Paul says, this is how the church is to respond. Paul is telling this guy, I've got a guy who ought to be in prison, but I'm sending him back to you, and he's going to wonder how the fellowship is going to receive him. So let me ask, how do we receive people? How do we receive people into this fellowship? Especially if they've messed up. They got a past. They don't look like us. They don't act like us. They do things that we may not approve of. How do we respond to people? How do we see people in this fellowship? Or maybe they have sinned against you. Somebody walks in here and your soul groans when you look across over there, right? Well, understand this. You need to understand. We have been forgiven. We have been forgiven. So guess what? That means that you can forgive too. You didn't deserve the forgiveness, but it was offered to you freely. We can forgive you. Listen, I've been forgiven, so I can forgive you. Now, I'm going to show you this. Just go ahead and close your Bibles. Close them up. I don't tell you that very often, do I? I want you to see this. If my brother Kenny was here, or if Nancy Petra was here, they would know this like the back of their hand. August 4th, 1993 was an unbelievable night in baseball between the Texas Rangers and the Chicago White Sox. Now, some of you may already remember this, or you know about it, you might remember it, where Nolan Ryan, 46-year-old Nolan Ryan, beating the tar out of 26-year-old Robin Ventura. Well, Robin Ventura was at the plate, and Nolan Ryan pitched and hit him with the ball, and Ventura got his base. He's going to take his base. But on his way to first base, he turns and he runs out to the mound, and he finds out you don't want to mess with the old man, Nolan Ryan. Go ahead, Leslie.
Here's Ventura, RBI single in the first. Watch out. Look at this.
That's one of the most famous brawls in all of baseball. Now, what you may not know is that Robin Ventura, before they went out to play the game that night, spoke to the United States of America Junior Olympic baseball team. Apparently, when Ventura was younger, he had played on the USA team. Well, the Junior Olympic team just happened to be at the game that night, and Ventura was asked to talk to them and give them a little pep talk as a former USA player. And so Ventura did that, and what he talked to them about was sportsmanship. We talk about forgiveness. And then during the game, he thought, let me just demonstrate to you what it's not. And then that happened in the game that night. Well, listen, they are grown men, and they can't seem to handle any of this. Now, wait. Now, on August 2022, in Little League Baseball, right? Leslie Show.
Wow, that is a tough kid right there.
Hey, Jarvis, and hit his helmet.
So this is really cool because as a pitcher, Bubs looks shaken up right now because of what he did. And look at Zay Jarvis. This is such great sportsmanship. He wants him to know that it's okay, that he'll be fine.
Hey, bro. Look at me. Look at me. You're all right.
Amazing.
You're all right. Look at me. Hey, look. You can do it.
What a stud right there. Zay Jarvis.
Okay, so you see what happened there. The pitcher, Shelton, pitches the ball and hits Jarvis in the head. Looks like a pretty hard hit to me. He falls to the ground and then gets to walk to first base. But what you don't initially see is that that hit really shook up the pitcher. He was crying, standing at the mound, crying. And Jarvis saw that, the kid that got hit with the ball. He saw that, and he left the base, gave Sheldon a hug, and said, listen, it's all right. I'm all right. It's all right. And when he was asked about it later, Jarvis, the kid that got hit, when he was asked about it later, Jarvis said this, I saw he was upset, and I just wanted to show him the love of Jesus. It was a natural reaction. I wanted him to know I cared about him because baseball is all about sportsmanship. So what you have here is 12-year-olds doing what 20 and 40-year-olds had not figured out. And that is, we are to be forgiving. It should be a natural reaction in the life of a Christian. And it is also the deepening work of Jesus Christ in the fellowship of believers and in us personally. Now, I have no idea what the Holy Spirit is saying to your heart right now. But he's saying something to a lot of people right now. I don't know, have any idea. But I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Please let him work. Please let him drill. Let him do a deepening work in you. Because some of you here this morning, need to come to Jesus Christ and receive that forgiveness that he offers for you for salvation. Listen, you've thought about it. You have. You've been thinking about it for a while. You've contemplated it for a while. You've toyed with the idea before, and you know it's the great need of your life. You need to come to a God who actually is a God of forgiveness. He demonstrated it. In fact, he's already gone to the cross for you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now that's an amazing thought to me in itself. He doesn't wait until we come to actually pay for our own sins. He doesn't do that. He already paid for your sin. And now he's simply waiting for you to come and receive his forgiveness and his grace and his mercy and his love. So you know what that means? The Holy Spirit is moving in you. That means now it's up to you. I can't do it for you. Your mama can't do it for you. Your daddy can't do it for you. It's up to you. So I'm going to give you the opportunity right now, as the Lord is calling, come to Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus Christ and get the forgiveness that he's offering. Right there where you are, right now, pray to give your life to him. Ask him to come into your heart to forgive you your sins. Ask him to help you to receive him in faith. Thank him for coming and going to a cross for you. But believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And that right now, if you will trust him, he will forgive you all of your sins. Not most of them, all of it. He will forgive you all of your sins. You don't know, Pastor. I don't need to know. God knows. But for so many of us here this morning, we harbor an unforgiveness towards someone. And that desire of God is for us to tap into what he has already put in us. As hard as it is, listen to me, as hard as it is, you are able to forgive. You are. You are, or God's a liar. And I would not want to be in your shoes if you're doing that. And listen to me. If you're not able to forgive, then listen. The issue is this. You either don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you're hindering and quenching the Holy Spirit in your life. That means there's no deepening work. And I don't think any of us want to be responsible for that, right? So why not come to the altar and get on your knees before God? And I hear you. I hear you thinking it. You're saying it quietly, but I hear it out loud. Well, if I do that, somebody will know. Somebody will know if I go up front. Somebody will see me if I go up front. Well, listen to me very carefully. Somebody already knows, and his name is Almighty God. So listen to me closely. It's God that you need to please and not other church people. It's not about other church people. It's between you and God. It's not between you and me. It's not between you and the pastor and not other church members. It's between you and God. It's God that you got to please. Let people think what they want. But your freedom awaits in Christ. Your freedom awaits in Christ. Let yourself go of that burden. Let it tap into that resource of the love of God that lives in you. Let us pray. Father, this just lays us bare before you. It truly does. It really exposes us right before you. We are people who are desperately in need of forgiveness, including me, Lord. We're in desperate need of forgiveness, but Father, for many of us, we are people who need to extend forgiveness as well. We're people who need to be willing to ask for forgiveness. and willing to forgive it. Father, help us to understand that this is the key to revival. This is truly the key to revival. May we respond and through your Holy Spirit in us. Let us not hold back, but let us respond through the move of your Holy Spirit in us, Lord. And may revival take place in our hearts, Lord. May revival take place in our lives. May revival take place in our homes. May revival take place in this fellowship. Let forgiveness rise up, that we would be set free from the prison, from the bars that hold us in, from the bars of unforgiveness. And that we will be a witness for you. There will be something different about us. I pray this, Father, pleading with you, Lord. I plead for this congregation. I plead for my own life, that our response would be pleasing to you. Lord, let us not hinder the work of the Holy Spirit, but let us tap into the resource that you have to set us free. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You come. You come. Don't wait, just come. Start praying for the person that you need to forgive.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the
talk, you need prayer, you just come see me afterwards and I'll be more than happy to talk and pray with you. Listen, I know the struggles of forgiveness. Trust me, I do. But listen, once it goes, it's going to be a great resource in your life. All right? So listen, thank you for coming. Come in Wednesday night. Come see us again. But go in peace. Go in the heart of Christ. Go and share the love of Christ with someone else. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. praise God.